Listener supported. WNYC Studios. We are the children. We are the ones to make a brighter day. So let's start giving.
They're doing it again. Megastars banding together for a good cause. Now the question is, will anyone buy it? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today on the show, the uneven history of charity relief songs. Plus, New York musicians are coming together for Japan. We'll hear how. And a live performance from the Brooklyn indie pop act Yellowbirds. To begin, though, traditionally, when tragedy strikes, musicians create collaborative efforts like this song from 1985's USA for Africa campaign. The latest is a compilation album called Songs for Japan, which came out on Friday. But nowadays, charity relief efforts just don't sell the way they used to. Joining me by phone to discuss the state of the charity release is Kevin Fallon, writer for The Atlantic. You can find a link to his recent article on our webpage. Kevin, nice to have you with us.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks. Joining me in the studio is Bill Wordy as well, Billboard's editorial director. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Kevin, let me start with you. It's almost like we've come to expect the big, massive get-together of superstars to make a charity record. Is that part of the problem, that it's now become something expected?
It's absolutely true. You know, anyone who is following the music industry's reaction to the events in Japan, you could see as the day has gone by, people were asking, where is this charity album? Where is this all-star single that's going to come in? In the same way that it did for 9/11, Katrina, and the tsunami in the Indian Ocean, it's become this expectation. And people were wondering why it hadn't happened yet. And that was only after a week had passed. That's how much we're expecting it now.
And Bill, when we talk about the early days of this with We Are the World and, you know, Do They Know It's Christmas, we were talking about records that sold up to 3.5 million copies. We're not talking about that anymore. Does that say more about the landscape in general or about the place of these charity records in particular?
I think that these albums and singles, to the extent that they are good, are selling basically in a line with overall album and single sales for like frontline titles, right? So the music industry, it's not a secret that records and albums have been kind of in free fall over the last 10 years. This album, this aggregated, group of tracks that have all previously been released, they're all big hits. It's selling really, really well. It's been number one on iTunes since it was released on Friday. So it is doing really well, but is it going to sell, 30 million copies? No, it's not going to sell 30 million copies.
And Kevin, what is Songs for Japan? I mean, Bill has said it's pretty much all stuff that's been out there already, right?
Right. This is an interesting take on the whole charity music project, because previous efforts have been these original songs like We Are the World, or in the case of Hope for Haiti Now, which was George Clooney's Telethon last year, it was an album that was put out as the soundtrack to the musical performances that were performed on his show. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this is one of the first really highly publicized charity music events that has contained really no original music. The artists did waive their royalty fees, and the producers waived the royalty fees as well. But, this is sort of, it's interesting how this fits under the umbrella of charity music projects, considering there is really no original content on it.
But, and so in order to get any one or two songs on the record, you have to buy the whole album.
Right, right. And that's what makes this different. So you're making a conscious decision to donate to charity when you buy this album. It's not buying a song that you like just because you like the song. In this case, you have to buy all 38 tracks.
Right. And Bill, do we know, I mean, you said it's selling really well.
Yeah.
Because it's an album and not a single, mm-hmm. it's generating perhaps a little more money than the sales figures alone might indicate?
Yeah, well, it's doing quite well. I mean, not only have the artists and the producers waived their royalties, but everyone involved, from Apple, who gets 30% of a typical album sale, to the labels, to the publishers, everyone involved has waived their
And all four major remaining major record labels
are involved
here.
Yeah. So I have to say, I mean, all respect to Kevin, it seems like an odd thing to look for a reason to pick on, because this is, I mean, I'm sure, you know, listen, at the end of the day, this album is, it's going to do quite well. You know, it's hard to tell when something, normally an album is released on a Tuesday.
Right.
This album was kind of rushed out on Friday. It looks like it's on track to sell maybe anywhere from 100,000 copies at the low end, right? So if you figure, you know, $9 going to charity, going to the Red Cross, you're talking about, and again, this is at the low end, you're talking about $900,000, close to $1 million in a week raised for the Red Cross. And that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. Kevin, are you picking on charity singles?
Why do you hate charity, Kevin?
I'm just pointing out the differences between that and the other projects. That is, there's no doubt in my mind that this is a valiant, a great thing that they're doing. It's different from what we've expected going, you know, through the projects that have been released in the past. And this is being compared to those things that have happened in the past. But it's important to keep in mind that it's a completely different animal.
And although some of the musical DNA of that animal remains the same, when something like this happens, we expect Bono and U2 to be a part of it.
And there they are.
Walk On is included in the new album called Songs for Japan. Walk On from U2 is one of the songs in the new album called Songs for Japan, and as we've been hearing, there's no original music, which is to say nothing that has been specifically rushed out of the studio, a new song meant to aid the Japanese Red Cross, which is where the proceeds to this album are going, but it is packed with well-known songs by top musical artists, only available as a complete package. And again, proceeds benefiting the Japanese Red Cross. Kevin Fallon is a writer for The Atlantic. His article on the new breed of charity singles and albums is linked on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. He's with us on the line. Bill Wordy, Billboard's editorial director, with me in the studio. And Kevin, you know, it used to be that these things, you know, when Bono and U2 were first getting involved in things like Do They Know It's Christmas back in the early 80s, it was as much about raising awareness as about raising money.
Right.
Do we need to have our awareness raised in the era of 24/7 news cycles these days?
You know, that's a great point. Is there really anyone who hasn't heard by now that there has been an earthquake in Japan? So it's one of those things where the sort of goal of these things has changed from merely just raising awareness to a cause that no one's really heard about to purely raising money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a different way to look at these projects, too.
Now, you mentioned the telethon that George Clooney hosted after the Haitian earthquake.
Right.
And, Bill, what do you think about that? I mean, that was a really effective thing because they had the immediacy of text this number on your cell phone right now and we will charge $1 or $10 and it'll go to the Red Cross. I mean, it seemed to bypass the wait a few days for the record to come out, then give us your $10.
Yeah, you know, I think there's definitely some truth to that. I almost wonder if there isn't, and this is a horrible commentary for where we are in the world today, but I almost wonder if there isn't a little bit of disaster fatigue setting in. It's not so much about fatigue about these fundraising efforts, but it's like, you know, how many times can people mobilize? You know, how many spots can major networks give up? How many, you know, in response to almost nothing? And I don't mean to sound cynical about that.
But it's actually, I mean,
but there's so many.
It's definitely something.
It's been
that
a calamitous year or two, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's been a calamitous decade. I mean, Kevin, in your article, you go back to 9/11.
Right. You know, one of the reasons why we are the world and, you know, the Band-Aid track, Do They Know Do They Know It's Christmas was so successful was because it was the very first of its kind. It was the first time we had seen all these superstars together singing one song. It was almost like one person talked to compared it to seeing the Avengers, the comic book heroes.
Yeah.
And beyond that, this was the first time people were really using music to raise awareness for a cause.
Well, let me just say, the granddaddy of all this was the Concert for Bangladesh. That's really what started this. That's like 71, and you've got George Harrison and everyone else sort of kind of coming together. But in a multimedia age, where it's being videotaped and then sort of saved, mm-hmm. everyone gets to see it, I would agree.
But let's also remember that Bangladesh, that was not without its detractors.
No, and in fact, when you look back, listen, I mean, musicians are brilliant at one thing, which is creating great music. They're not always the best at, perhaps running the business of a charity or running the business of a fundraiser, which, as you know, is a complicated endeavor mm-hmm. anyway. So, yeah, I mean, my favorite comment, I think John Lennon, who did not take part in the Concert for Bangladesh, was sort of quoted as saying these things are always a scam. And, of course, now today, John Lennon, thanks to Yoko Ono, has a song on Songs for Japan.
Imagine,
in fact.
But this actually is George Harrison's Concert for Bangladesh 1971. It was as much about awareness as it was about money, organized for relief of refugees from the former East Pakistan, which had just won its independence as Bangladesh, only to be hit by a climactic, a cataclysmic cyclone. Bangladesh from George Harrison, the 1971 Concert for Bangladesh, which was organized for the relief of refugees from a cyclone that hit that, at the time, brand new country, still reeling from its own fight for independence. George Harrison, Ravi Shankar, a whole host of rock royalty of the day helping out. And as we were talking about just a moment ago, there were some people, John Lennon included, sort of looking askance at this. And let me ask our listeners, Soundcheck listeners, what do you think about these charity albums, charity singles? We've got the new one called Songs for Japan. It is doing, Bill, as well as anything can do in the current marketplace.
Yeah, over the last couple of days, it's been the top-selling album.
So, what do you think about that? Is it effective? Is it better to just do the George Clooney telethon text to make a donation on your cell phone kind of thing? Are they mutually exclusive? You can leave a comment on the Soundcheck page, and there are some interesting ones already there at wnyc.org/soundcheck. Guys, let me read this one to you from Gary on the Upper West Side, who writes, does anyone ever follow up and check that these charity records and concerts actually deliver the money to the intended recipients? George Harrison once quipped that the only people who received money from the Concert for Bangladesh were the promoters. That's something that we have learned the hard way, which is when people are donating their performances, you also have to make sure that the people who are doing the production and the distributing, all those people, really have to be donating their work as well. Otherwise, nothing gets out. Isn't that right?
Well, listen, I mean, pretty clearly, the follow-ups do happen, which is, for better or for worse, why we know that so many of these things have actually ultimately proved to be a little flawed, right? Concert for Bangladesh, the promoters hadn't properly set themselves up as a nonprofit, so the money was in escrow for like 11 years. I mean, there was all sorts of issues like this. And in fact, more recently now, you've got in the headlines, you've got Madonna just recently, mm-hmm. Raised all this money to open a school in Malawi, and now clearly it seems like over $3 million of that money has been spent, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any school in Malawi. You know, why Clef John set up his Yellow Haiti Foundation. And I mean, I know why Clef, and I have no doubt that his heart is in the right place, but it ran afoul of some accounting issues.
Well, he said on our show not too long ago, he said, you know, I learned a lesson, and I learned it the hard way.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, I mean, the follow-up on this, listen, it's going to be a little tricky because the accounting of a digital album is confusing. There's seven different people that get paid, and, you know, some of those are on a monthly basis and a quarterly basis. But I believe that everyone's heart is certainly in the right place on this.
Kevin, you know, with your article looking, you know, at the way these things exist now and comparing it to the way it existed a quarter century ago, take us back to Do They Know It's Christmas, 1984. Bangladesh had sort of receded by that point. We really hadn't seen or heard anything like it. How did it achieve the kind of global visibility and fundraising ability that it ultimately did?
Well, you know, because it was one of, you know, the first of its kind, you know, you mentioned Bangladesh before it, but it really galvanized the music industry. No one had ever seen such a star-studded lineup before. And it was also a very ideal time. People, I feel like, were in their hearts anxious to give and anxious to learn more about this cause. Whereas you fast forward to today where there's, you know, the comment that your reader made, there seems to be much more of a cynicism that's attached to endeavors like this. And you know, that might be, you know, part of the reason why some of these efforts aren't selling as well as they used to, as well too, because people are skeptical about where the money is going and whether it's going to be whether that endeavor is where they should be donating their money.
Mm-hmm. Although, Bill, it sounds like you're saying that we shouldn't compare sales today to sales in 1984.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to say that people are responding to this album skeptically. It's the number one selling album in the United States since it was released on Friday, so. Is that total going to be what it was in 1985? No, absolutely not. But is it still an indication that it's hot? Then yes.
Well, in 1984, Band Aid, formed by Bob Geldof, Midgeur, and a whole bunch of music's biggest names, recorded this song, Do They Know It's Christmas? It sold over 3 million copies with the voices of Bono, Sting, Bowie, and many others. The most successful single in the UK for more than a decade after its release.
And the Christmas bells that ring there are the clanging chimes of doom. Well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you. And there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas time. The greatest gift there.
Do They Know It's Christmas from the group known as Band Aid, the musical supergroup put together by Bob Geldof and Midgeur back in 1984 to aid famine relief in Africa. Bill Wordy of Billboard magazine is here with me in the studio, and so we have the opportunity to actually be sort of talking while the music's on. And you were saying, Bill, this is genuinely a good song.
Yeah, I actually like this song. I mean, people, one of the things that gets overlooked is it's hard to create an amazing hit song in the space of no time. When you look at some of those early charities that benefited Africa, they weren't responding to sort of a specific crisis that happened immediately and needed to be responded to immediately, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the famine in Ethiopia at the time was known and was awful and was going to be around. And so, you know, they planned this and they did it the right way. Whereas, obviously, today, with reacting to a tsunami and to the ensuing nuclear crisis, it's...
So maybe in the space of 5 days or 10 days... cobbling together a bunch of hits and putting them all on a compilation disc is the best you can do.
Well, it's a little tried and true, too. I mean, there's that, like, you know, the Now compilation that, you know, kind of every quarter puts out the biggest hits out there. It generally enters the Billboard charts in the top five. So there's an inclination that people like this.
Kevin Fallon with us on the line wrote the article in The Atlantic that you can find on the Soundcheck page. And, Kevin, let me read you a comment from Ted in Atlanta. As I was listening to the Bangladesh music just now, I wondered, how long does the purchase price go to the charity? If I bought the Bangladesh concert now, what happens? Have an answer to that?
I certainly don't. That is a great question, though.
Yeah, it is a good question.
So,
You know, I would hazard to guess that it probably still goes to the charity in this case. I think it was actually, usually what will happen is it'll migrate to a certain trust and, you know, it'll be set up maybe if not for that exact same charity, then still for a related charitable effort.
So the Songs for Japan, Kevin, this is going to the Japanese Red Cross, right?
Correct.
So presumably, if somebody 10 years down the line sees this amazing collection of singles from the year 2011 and says, I got to have that, presumably the Red Cross will still get that money?
No, you have to hope so.
Yeah. All right. And is that what we're talking about here? Is it, you have to hope?
I think that's true. You know, I think, you know, the comments that your reader Garrett said a few minutes ago, you know, wondering whether these profits are actually going to the charity, I think there really is, especially since there's so many causes and so many singles being released year after year after year, and then the different avenues where people can donate to charity. You really have to be transparent with these projects and let people know that when you give money, when you purchase this album, this is exactly where your money is going and how much of what you purchase is going there and when. And I think that without that transparency, you run into people who are suspicious, and that's not a good thing when it comes to charity.
Well, the album is doing as well as anything in a crowded and fractured marketplace. The album is called Songs for Japan. You can read all about it in Kevin Fallon's article for The Atlantic. There's a link on the Soundcheck webpage. He's been with us on the line, Bill Wordy, Billboard's editorial director, with me here in the studio. Guys, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Up next, we'll hear about what's going on locally here in New York to benefit Japan Relief. And then later, the cosmic country sounds of Yellowbirds. They'll play live in the studio. And speaking of live, you can join Soundcheck for our next live broadcast this Wednesday from the Green Space. We'll hear new songs from the Mountain Goats, led by songwriter John Darnielle. And Suzanne Vega will play songs from her new stage play about the author Carson McCullers. That's this Wednesday, March 30th, 2 p.m. For the few remaining tickets, you can go to our website, wnyc.org/thegreenspace. And true and steady. Let the frame find you when the cameraman's ready. Work until I drop. Drift from place to place. Aaron Field, Pennsylvania. You think I'd leave your side, baby? You know me better than that. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. As we were just hearing, efforts are being made to help earthquake and tsunami-ravaged Japan, including a superstar compilation album called Songs for Japan, with artists like this one, Sade, donating songs to the effort. But local New York musicians are getting into the act, too. Charity and benefit concerts are popping up all over town, and joining me now to share some of the ways that local musicians are getting involved is the music writer Amanda Petrosich. Amanda, good to see you again.
Nice to see you too, John.
So there's a lot going on around town, but let me ask you first, should we be asking some of the same questions about these benefit concerts that we were just asking about, you know, charity singles and charity albums?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I think it's always important to ask those questions. I think one of the things we're seeing, especially in New York, especially with the kind of downtown experimental rock and classical scene, they're really rallying around this cause and funneling money specifically to the Japan Society's Earthquake Relief Fund, which perhaps, I mean, I know quite a bit of money has been going to the Red Cross, and, mm-hmm. and that is fantastic, but the Red Cross is a sort of broad and complicated organization that services crises all over the world. And so this is a very specific fund that I think a lot of this money is going to. But of course, it's always important to ask those questions.
Well, and one of the questions people will ask is this an effective way to raise money? If you sell CDs for, you know, digital CDs for $9.99, like Songs for Japan, or singles like We Are the World, which you could have gotten for 99 cents, you know, back in the day, if you're going to one of these concerts, it's a much bigger ticket item. So you're actually getting larger donations, aren't you?
Right, absolutely. I think the ticket prices are fairly high, as perhaps they should be. I think most of these tend to be around $100 a head. And, you know, often the performers have donated all of their time, and the concert venue is donating its time as well. So you do see, you know, a good chunk. And often these will say 100% of the proceeds. You know, and I don't have their accounting records. I can't vouch for that entirely. But I feel like it's a pretty good way to spend your money.
All right. Tell us some of what's going on. I mean, there was a big event yesterday at Columbia University's Miller Theater.
Yes.
Set up by John Zorn, the downtown composer, and Yoko Ono. They released a press release just moments ago saying that they raised over $34,000 for that very fund that you mentioned, Japan Society's Earthquake Relief Fund, just in one concert, one event, one place last night. So what else is happening? That's some momentum to build on.
Yeah,
it seems.
Absolutely. And Yoko Ono is actually hosting another benefit tomorrow, March 29th at Le Poisson Rouge, and that's called Yoko Ono and Friends to Japan with Love, and will feature performances by Yoko Ono and the Plastic Ono Band, Patti Smith with Tony Shanahan and Sibo Matto. Tickets for that are again $100 with 100% of the proceeds going to Japan.
Now, when you say that, you know, we were talking before about the records that, you know, it's one thing for the musicians to donate their royalties or their services or whatever, but then you've got the producers, the promoters,
right,
the distributors. So when we start asking these questions about a concert, you're saying that, you know, when they say 100% of the proceeds, that means LPR, Le Poisson, the venue, is also contributing the space,
right,
and the manpower, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as I understand it, yes, that is
okay.
True. And they're also doing, you know, like I said, there's a lot going on this week. There's a lot going on next week. City Winery is hosting a benefit on Thursday, March 31st. And they have a fund matching situation in place. They have a donor that will be matching funds. Their goal is to collect $30,000. That's for the Red Cross. That's Rachel Yamagata, Tift Merritt, Paula Cole, Marshall Crenshaw, Dar Williams, Lucy Wainwright Roche, Nicole Atkins, and more. Tickets for that are a little bit less expensive. Those are $45 to $65.
Because they have this matching grant kind of thing going.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it sounds like public radio.
Yeah. I know.
So that's kind of a singer-songwritery event.
Yeah.
Nicole Atkins, who was on Soundcheck not too long ago, one of the artists who will be taking part in Thursday's event at City Winery. It's Nicole Atkins, who's performing Thursday at City Winery across the street from our studios on Varick Street. The goal is to collect $30,000 for the Japanese Red Cross. Last night at the Miller Theater, they raised over $34,000 for the Japan Society's Earthquake Relief Fund. So these things are happening. Amanda Petrosic, music writer for Pitchfork and the New York Times, among others, is with me in the studio. Let me read you a comment from Barrett in Brooklyn. By the time the album, the Songs for Japan album, comes out, I will have donated money to at least three organizations responding to the Japan earthquake and tsunami. The difference is the internet, which in the case of most of the previous musical efforts mentioned, didn't exist as we now know it. So the idea that maybe the age of the benefit single, the benefit concert, that you don't need to wait for the album to come out. You don't need to wait for the place to put together a great lineup. Just make the donation. You know, I guess there's the bigger question here.
Right.
You know, what is at the end of the day the point of these concerts?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you have cash to give, by all means, do not wait for a benefit concert. Do not wait for a benefit CD. You know, give the money you've got. But this, I think these serve a purpose, which is for people who are maybe not thinking about donating money, or, you know, weren't sure if they wanted to, or weren't sure if they could, you know, something comes up that they really want to do. And even if it's an incidental donation, even if they buy the ticket because they want to see Yoko Ono, you know, help is help, and God knows they need it.
All right. So there's the question, as we mentioned before, of maybe getting a larger contribution because these are sort of premium ticket prices. Mm-hmm. What about the idea of community? You know, the sense of a bunch of people banding together. I mean, you can't put a kind of a dollar value on that, but that seems to be part of what makes these things work as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe people heading into these shows could have had a sort of vague sense of this disaster. And then they go and it's a bit of a rallying cry. You know, like you said, it's a community moment. Everyone, you know, leaves sort of worked up. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
All right. So let's continue. This week, you've mentioned a couple of big events happening in town. Next week, the sort of push to help continues.
Yeah, absolutely. Next week on April 8th, the Abrams Art Center on the Lower East Side is hosting two back-to-back shows, one at 6:30 and one at 9:30. And these were both, as you mentioned earlier, like the Miller Theater Concert, these were both curated and will be hosted by the composer John Zorn. And Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth is headlining the early show, and Nora Jones is headlining the late show. And in between is this kind of spectacular array of musicians, which includes this band I love called Elysian Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And both the performers and the theater are absolutely donating their services. So again, it's 100% of proceeds are going to the Japan Society's Earthquake Relief Fund. The next day, on April 9th, the Japan Society is actually hosting its own benefit. And this is kind of interesting because it's a 12-hour event. So it's something of a marathon. It's organized by blocks, and it will include performances by Philip Glass and Hal Wilner, Lou Reed, Laurie Anderson, a whole bunch of other folks. And this one's a bit more family-friendly, which is nice. They're going to have activities like making origami cranes and lanterns, so you can bring your kids. And you can find tickets for that on their website.
JapanSociety.org. Amanda Petrusich has been with me in the studio, looking at just some of the many ways in which local artists are trying to help out. Amanda, thanks for dropping by.
Thanks so much.
On March 17th, after music director Alan Gilbert and guest conductor Esa-Pekka Salonen addressed the audience at Avery Fisher Hall, the New York Philharmonic performed this piece, Takemitsu's Requiem for Strings, in sympathy with the Japanese people. And still to come on Soundcheck today, musician Sam Cohen and his indie pop outfit Yellowbirds play live in the Soundcheck studio. That's next.